Session number 11268, row 1.
Mr. Joseph Clements, Rear 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Clements?
I was born on the 13th of March, 1898, in Caterham, Surrey.
And what did your father do for a living?
My father was an ex-serviceman, but he was trained as a carpenter and joiner, you know, and all that. All to do with carpenter woodwork. Very, very good man he was.
How many were there in the family?
There were four boys. I'm the second eldest.
And what would you say was the sort of life you led at that time? Was it comfortably off?
No, we weren't comfortably off. Unless he didn't have a continuous job, but except when they started building a new roadway just down here. And he got the job of doing all the woodwork in the roofs, walls, on conditions that he rented one of the houses when they were completed. So that's where we moved to. We were originally moved in Chaldon Road. And we moved out of there into the one he'd just done, Holston Road. And we had to pay seven and six a week rent. Sixpence extra was for the, because we had an end house and had a side passage.
Was it a comfortable house?
Oh, yes. Yes, even had a bathroom, which wasn't very, weren't too popular those days.
What school did you go to?
St. Francis Roman Catholic School. I don't really know. I suppose I was about just over four when I went there. I was pretty good at school, although I say it myself. Geography and things like that I was very keen on. When I got to the age of 13, because, remind you, there's only about 90 in the school, I should think, at the most. The headmistress, we had no masters, three mistresses were, she put me in for what they called a labour examination. That meant that if I passed this examination, I could leave school at 13. And I had to go over to Oxted to take this examination. And the result came back, I was okay. So I left school at 13 after getting up as far in my own school as I could do. You know, there was no higher classes. Well, then I was very pleased with that, leaving the school at 13. But I got a job as a delivery boy in a grocer's shop, half a crown a week, which is 12p, isn't it? And worked from 8 till 8 days and 8 till 10 on Saturdays, half day off Wednesdays.
What did you use to deliver?
Deliver all groceries.
And what did you use?
In a car, a two-wheeled cart thing, small cart. And a push hand truck. And the Saturday morning delivery was always over at Chaldon, about a mile and a half or more away, up and down hills, and they took their week's groceries in, so I had quite a load. No matter what the weather was like, you had to get there and get back again. Well, I got that. I stopped that. I don't know how long I were doing that. But I transferred there down to the baker's shop in the valley, in Caterham Valley, Bells, they were. And there was a baker's and confectioner. And for delivering bread I was. I had a round of my own. And used to go over to Waldingham with one basket in the carrier in the front and another one tied in front of that. So two basketfuls. and delivered Waldingham and Wallingham and along Hairstone Valley, where the school, near where the old Caton School is now, delivering bread. Then I had to clean the tins and all that business. Saturday nights I had to clean the tops of the bins where they made the dough, kneaded the dough, see they were all nice and clean. Do the floor, there was a brick floor, I had to clean that off. And the Mrs. Bell, his wife, she used to pay me in the shop, which was above the bakery, was down below ground level, and she was in the shop above. She used to pay me Saturday nights, and usually a bag of stale cakes she gave me. So that went on. Let me see now. I forget what happened now.
You weren't in any sort of boys' organisation, were you? Boy Scouts, no, or Boys' Brigade?
No, it was not spoken about quite a bit. Only I think my mother told us later that as there were four of us, she wouldn't have let one go without the others, and she couldn't really afford four, paying for four suits of Scouts clothing and things like that.
Now, in 1913, you told me before that you tried to join the army, but you were rejected on health grounds. Could you tell me about that?
Navy.
Joined the Navy.
You got the army, then? Well, it was in the Navy. No, the only thing was that I...
What made you want to join the Navy?
Pardon?
What made you want to join the Navy?
I don't know. It was just a feeling I always wanted to be a sailor. Just that. I didn't know a thing about the Navy or anything at all.
Where did you go to try and join?
Up Whitehall. Somewhere up there. I got sent up there. I went to the recruiting office in Croydon originally, and they sent me up there. And all it was a rather bad cold at the time. That's all I had, and they wouldn't take me.
Were you disappointed?
I was disappointed, very disappointed. And then, as I say, war broke out, and
you carried on at the baker shop until the war.
No, I'd left then. Whether I left to go and join the Navy, I don't know. I can't remember that. But I finished up at a house over here in the gardens. They had a head gardener there, and I was kind of an assistant gardener, although I didn't know much about it. But you learn as you go along.
And that's what you were doing when the war broke out?
When the war broke out.
What do you remember about? Were you expecting war to break out at the time?
That's a big question now. I suppose I was, whatever the feeling was, generally I was with it, I suppose.
But you don't remember specifically?
Not anything specific about it.
Do you remember anything about the actual day war broke out, August the 4th?
No, it didn't seem any different to any other day. That I can remember now, it doesn't seem any different. But I know that I still wanted to go and join the Navy then. So on the 18th, of August 1914, I got up. I told my mother about it, actually, and she, of course, she piped her eye, of course, and but she wasn't against it, and it wouldn't stand in my way.
What about your dad? He'd been in the army.
I think he went with my mother as well, you know, because he told me, he said, if you don't get in the Navy, and you decide to join the army. Oh, sorry, I'm making a mess of that.
It's all right.
He said, don't join a horse regiment, because he was an old hussar man himself. He said, you'll find you'll have enough to look after yourself, let alone a couple of horses. So I bore that in mind.
So you got up that morning. Where did you go to join
him? I walked from here to Purley, a matter of 5 miles, and caught a penny tram from there into Croydon. went down Crown Hill to the recruiting office, and they examined me. He asked me how old I was, and I said I was 16 in the March. This was in the August 1914. He said, you're too young. He said, you better go outside and have a birthday. So I went out the door and came in again. He said, how old are you now? I said, 17. He said, that's better. And he sent he said, "No, which do you want to join? The Royal Marine Artillery or the Royal Marine Light Infantry?" I thought, "Well, artillery, that sounds like horses to me. All I knew was the horse artillery, you see." So I said, "Well, you better put me in the light infantry." And I went up to Whitehall.
You couldn't get into the actual Navy proper then?
No. Oh, no, I was in the Marines. Marines.
What? Didn't they offer you? Did you have the chance to join the Navy itself?
No, I may have done later, but I never would have thought. I was settled down in the Marines and I was quite happy.
So they sent you down to where?
Whitehall. And went another examination there, physical and mental. And I was then in Deal Barracks the same night, signed on for 12 years. They weren't... the funny thing about it was they told me they weren't taking less than 12 years because... Oh, no, they told me... I'm getting mixed up now.
All right.
They told me in the beginning they weren't recruiting for the Navy. I went up to join the Navy. They said they were full up in the Navy. Now, this was the beginning of the war. So that's when he said, "Why don't you join the Marines?" He said, "They go to sea just the same on the boats." And I said, "All right." That's when he asked me if I wanted to join the Marine Artillery or the... because there were two lots of Marines then. And so I said, "Oh, put me in the Light Infantry." So say I was up the... sent up to Whitehall and passed their exams up there and got with about half a dozen or more. Went down to Deal the same night, signed on for 12 years. They weren't, because the duration of war era hadn't come out then.
Now, what happened when you got to Deal? What did they do with you?
What did they do? Well, we had a bit of supper when we got there, because it was getting on at night. Slept there and got called the next morning and gradually fitted up with their clothing, uniforms. Put into a squad. I was in the 83rd squad, I remember that, all right.
Did you get your uniform?
In bits and pieces. We gradually got it as we went along. And
so you were 83rd squad?
83rd squad.
Royal Marine Light Infantry Depot.
That's right, Deal. South Barracks. That's different to the one that was blown up this time. That was North Barracks.
Now, what were the barracks like that you were living in? Can you remember much about them?
I don't know. I couldn't... nothing to compare them by, you see, really. It was my home then, and I think I settled down pretty quickly.
Were they comfortable enough for you?
I think, yes. Except, you know, when I had to get called into early morning to... had a palliascum, you had to go down to the drill hall where the heap of straw there. You had to fill it yourself, you see, and cart it back. The thing was, if you got it in there and filled it up and put it back there, you thought you were all right, until you found out that you should have packed more in there than what really you could get in there, because it went down very quickly. You finished up sleeping on the bare irons of the bedstead.
So, was there any heating in the barrack?
Oh, there was a big fireplace. Coal fire. That's right, I remember that, because I got... that was one of the... Each recruit in the room, there was a corporal in charge, but each recruit in that room, there must have been about 20, 25 of us, I suppose. We all had a specific job to do. Some had to clean the fireplace, you know, blacklead it and polish it up. Others, we all had a window each to clean. And you got pulled over the coals if you didn't do it properly, and stopped from going out and all that business.
So that's how you kept the barrack room tidy. You each had a specific job in it.
Oh, yes. Everyone had a specific job, and it was all down on a board. Number one window is so-and-so. Number two window is somebody else. And the toilets and all that, they were all allocated to somebody. Their name was down. And then on... I think it was Friday nights. Everybody, no matter who you were, you all got in and we scrubbed it right out. Right from end to end.
What about your kit? Did you have kit inspections?
Oh, yes, kit inspections.
What were they like?
Well, as long as you, in the beginning it was all right, you had to show everything you were issued with, all fully marked, even the knife, fork and spoon, they were stamped on the urine number was stamped on them. And what else was there?
Did they inspect everything that it was polished and such? I mean, your belts and things.
Oh, yeah, you had Blanco, we had a white belt. Because we were in blues, you see, then. And you had a white belt, and you had to Blanco that. And then you had, because it was winter, summertime, then you had a white cover to your cap. That had to be scrubbed and kept white.
What about your buttons and your shoes?
Always, you had to polish them, otherwise you were very soon in trouble. And you had an issue with the rifle, and that had to be cleaned every time. You went on parade, and mostly they were nearly inspecting nearly every time you went on parade.
What was your food like?
Well, as far as I can remember, they were very plain, but there seemed to be enough of it. We were all growing youngsters, and we were always hungry, so we could always eat, no matter what it was. Or that. And I don't remember missing anything, you know, saying I can't eat that, I don't like that. It was there and I ate it.
Let's have a look at the actual training now. What was the... Did you do physical training? I mean, to get you fit, PT?
But I can't remember the details, really. I think that was... maybe one or two mornings or afternoons in the week when you went down to the gym. And that's all you'd done then, you see.
What about route marches? Would you do those?
Yes, but not until you could march properly.
So they taught you basic drill first?
Oh, yes, all on the parades. And your particular squad, you always fell in with your own squad. Mine was the 83rd, as I said. And you had your own... sergeant, he was in charge of you and your squad, and he took you right through from starting off with your left foot and right arm, right up to the handling of a rifle.
What did you think of drill?
I didn't dislike it at all. I think it was. I was so pleased to be in the services. I think that covered a lot of things, really.
You didn't find it boring or repetitive?
Not a bit. No.
Did you understand why you had to do it at the time, why it was important?
Well, no, I'm not going to say I understood why, but I think it was because everybody else was doing it, more or less.
Now, when you'd learnt to march, what were the route marches like? Where did you go?
It wasn't the route marches so much as the marching in formation on the square, on the barrack square, and how to form line on the left or right, or marching in fours, marching in single file, and all the drills went through, because for a proper parade, what they used to do, you'd get in one single line, tallest on one side and going down to the shortest on the other end, see, and then you started off marching one minute the other, and you came back so that you finished up like a bow shape. The tallest on each flank and the smaller ones into the middle. Well, you had to learn to do that, and also to keep in step, which is nothing. And it was surprising. I saw quite a few chaps who could never march properly. You know, it took them a long, long while. And that, because they were always moving their right arm with their right leg. You know, if you understand that.
So did you not go out on route marches?
We did do. We'll tell you. Yes, we did, because we went up on Walmer, a place called Walmer, around that way. But it was just quite a gentle march, really.
Okay, well, what about actual rifle training? How did they teach you to shoot a rifle?
Yeah, well, we were taken, and we had to watch this sergeant taking the rifle to pieces, and he explaining a proper instructor. Every piece he took when he took it off, he'd say, that's so-and-so and that's so-and-so, and he'd put them down, and then they'd show you which goes on first when he reassembling the rifle. And well, after you'd managed to do that, we went down onto a range, a 22.22 rifle range for shooting, for aiming more than anything else, although we did, you did have a target there, and you did have the bullets, but they were .22, they weren't the .303. That came later when you went up, we used to go to the ranges and try with blanks at first, and then, well, the proper routine as regards rifle drill. You mustn't do this and you mustn't do that. Never, you know, always keep the safety guard on.
What were the secrets, do you think, of being a good shot?
A good shot? Good eyesight is the essential thing. And, well, I think if you'd done what you were told, you didn't go far wrong.
They were good instructors,
then. I think so.
What, were you a good shot?
Well, yes, I could come to that later on.
Okay.
If you like.
Right. Did you have any other training? Did you do any bayonet training? Bayonet fighting?
Oh, yeah, well, you do that with your arms drill, you see. That all came with your arms drill. You had to learn how to fix your bayonet first, how to draw it out, and how to get it back again without cutting your, cutting your throat or something like that. And, that seemed to get a bit, because perhaps a few of us, perhaps I was a bit big-headed, I jumped into it fairly quickly, and you had to wait for the others to pick up. I go, hurry up, get that done, let's try something else. they'd only keep in their routine, the instructors. They didn't take any individuals.
What, any other training you get? Did you get, as Marines, did you get any swimming training?
Swimming, we had to swim. Yes. And boat pulling, you know.
With the swimming, did they actually teach you, or did they just check you could?
I couldn't swim when I went in. And first of all, you started on a form. You lay out on a form, and they showed you the movements of a breaststroke. And then, you know, with the arms first, then your legs, then the two combined. And then you were taken down, when you got that all right, then you were taken down to the swimming pool, and put in the shallow end, and had a rail on the render side, as you know. And you had to get your arms under that and kick your legs up at the back and go through the movements of swimming that way, the leg movement. And then, by squatting down anywhere, doing the arm movement. And then you had a life belt, you knew you had to do combine the two then, arm and the leg movement together. And so it came to passing out time for that, but you had to pass that out because if you passed your drills and your rifle drill, the foot drill, swimming and all that, those all went down on your papers. So you got your efficiency pay, which meant perhaps another penny a week, or a penny a day, rather. Then if you didn't pass out, you wouldn't get it.
What about, you mentioned boat pulling. What was that? You actually messed about in
boats. Yeah, well, there was about, I forget name what they call them now, a big dinghy type of thing, about eight of us at a time, four oars each side. And you had to pull on that. And
how did you take to that?
Oh, didn't mind at all, no. No, I don't think I felt against anything, really, because it was something I always wanted to do, was to join the service.
What about, you did education classes, didn't you?
Yes, I had education, and I got tested for that. Well, a little bit, I can go back to swimming, if you like.
Okay.
The swimming, when you passed out, you were given a canvas suit, which was just the trousers and the jacket with no arms, cut off at the shoulder, and then you put that on, and you had to go in from the the shallow end and swim up to the deep end, across the top, and down to the shallow end the other side. And and if you could do that, see, you passed out if you do that with the catch.
That was the test.
Well, that was, what the catch was, if you were in number one, two or three position on that, you were okay because the canvas was dry and there was a certain amount of air in it and it kept you kept you afloat. If you had to be 10, 11 or 12, it's been used four or five times, when you got it, it was already soaked through. It was kind of an extra weight on your body. And I think I was about midway there. I didn't get a dry one. I didn't get a fully soaked one, but I did get to the other end, but it was, a bit of a struggle.
So that was swimming. That, the education classes, what were they?
Yes, well, I don't really... It's general, more or less general knowledge. There was a lot of it. And a certain amount of arithmetic, as far as I can remember now, but I can't think a lot more about that.
Did you have to take the third class certificate?
Oh, yes, I got the third class certificate. You could, if you were going in for promotion, go on to the first class. But
was it much more difficult than your schooling had been, or about the same level?
Yeah, about the same level, I should say.